Jesus forewarned of an impending assault long before the rapture, a warning that most Christians have, unfortunately, overlooked. What if I were to tell you that Jesus himself cautioned us about a forthcoming attack? This attack wouldn't originate from armies, nor governments, nor even enemies we can readily identify. Instead, it would stem from within the very hearts of believers. What if the true peril before the rapture isn't external persecution, but rather internal deception? What if the critical battle that will determine whether we ascend with him or remain behind isn't being waged externally, but rather deep within the soul of the church itself? Jesus issued this warning 2 millennia ago, yet a significant portion of his present-day followers have failed to heed it. They observe the world's descent into chaos. They hear the growing buzz of impending wars. They witness the unchecked spread of moral decay, and they wrongly assume that that is the attack. However, the enemy's most potent weapon isn't outright destruction. It's distraction. It's the allure of comfort. It's the subtle, almost imperceptible drift away from God's heart, camouflaged as peace, progress, and pleasure. Jesus foretold that before the rapture, there would be a great falling away. He spoke of deception so insidious that it could potentially mislead even the elect. He wasn't referring to overtly demonic displays or a monstrous figure compelling worship. No, he was highlighting subtle corruption, truth subtly intertwined with falsehoods, faith weakened by the pursuit of comfort, and worship rendered hollow by self-interest. He cautioned that it would arrive like a thief in the night, quiet, unseen, and entirely unexpected. And here lies the painful reality. Many Christians have already been ensnared. They falsely believe they stand firm, yet their spiritual roots are shallow. They think they are filled with the Spirit, yet their spiritual oil is rapidly depleting. The core of Jesus's warning wasn't intended to instill fear. It was a call to readiness. The attack preceding his return will not resemble a conventional war. It will masquerade as peace. It will feel like progress. It will sound like kindness, but it will ultimately be a deceptive illusion. A counterfeit light meticulously designed to lull believers into a state of complacency, causing them to fall asleep just before the trumpet sounds. That's precisely why we must awaken. This message isn't about predicting the precise day or hour of his return. It's about cultivating discernment, recognizing the subtle enemy infiltrating our hearts, our churches, and our culture. Jesus' words were not a distant prophecy. They were an urgent call to preparation. He cautioned of a generation possessing eyes that fail to see, ears that fail to hear, and hearts that no longer tremble at God's word. And if you simply observe the world around you today, you can witness this very scenario unfolding. The clamor of the world is drowning out the gentle whisper of heaven. Truth is being sacrificed on the altar of tolerance. Holiness is being bartered for popularity, and conviction is being traded for the ease of comfort. The greatest threat to the church prior to the rapture will not originate from external persecution. It will emerge from within. The attack will not manifest through physical chains, but through spiritual compromise. That's the war Jesus was warning us about, and it is actively underway at this very moment. Before his crucifixion, he implored his disciples, "See to it that no one deceives you." These words weren't directed at the Pharisees or the Romans. They were specifically intended for his followers, for us. Because deception doesn't originate in the world. It takes root in the heart. The devil doesn't need to forcefully attack the church when he can insidiously infiltrate it with comfort. He doesn't need to set Bibles ablaze when he can subtly distract believers to the point where they neglect to even open them. The subtle nature of this attack is what makes it so incredibly dangerous. It doesn't present itself in the guise of overt evil. It arrives cloaked in light. It speaks softly, promising unwavering love, preaching absolute peace, and yet, in the process, subtly leads people further and further away from the fundamental truth of the gospel. Jesus cautioned that prior to his return, false prophets would emerge and deceive many. However, these deceptive voices don't always occupy pulpits. They subtly permeate our songs, subtly influence our media, and subtly whisper through our culture. The deception resides not only in what is being overtly stated, but also in what is deliberately left unsaid. Repentance has been quietly replaced by hollow reassurance. Sin has been euphemistically renamed a mere struggle. Holiness has been subtly relegated to optional status. And, little by little, the bedrock of truth is being eroded until faith itself becomes virtually unrecognizable. This is the insidious attack that most Christians have tragically missed. It's not the external darkness that poses the greatest threat. It's the dimming of the internal light. Jesus himself poignantly asked, "If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" This is the stark reality facing the modern church. Outwardly vibrant, inwardly hollow. Worship devoid of genuine surrender. Words lacking inherent power. Faith devoid of authentic obedience. This isn't intended as condemnation, but rather as a clarion call to awaken. Because Jesus issued this warning out of profound love. He understood that the hearts of men would inevitably grow dull prior to his return. He foresaw that the enemy's strategy would be subtle, not to outright destroy faith, but to incrementally dilute it, to render believers so comfortable that they cease to yearn for heaven, to immerse them so deeply in the fleeting entertainment of the world that they completely forget they are engaged in a spiritual war. And thus, he cautioned us repeatedly, "Stay awake, remain vigilant, and meticulously guard your hearts." He shared parables of servants who succumbed to sleep while awaiting their master's return, and others who diligently remained alert throughout the long night. The crucial distinction between them wasn't in their professed beliefs. It resided in their state of readiness when he ultimately arrived. That's the essence of this message. Readiness, awareness, and unwavering discernment. Because the attack that Jesus warned about is already upon us. It's not a physical sword. It's a spiritual lullaby, and it's lulling the church into a dangerous slumber. The pertinent question now isn't merely whether the rapture is imminent. It's whether we are still sufficiently awake to perceive its approach. The enemy's most formidable weapon has never been terror. It has always been the seductive allure of comfort. It insidiously whispers, "You're perfectly fine just as you are. You deserve rest and relaxation. You've already done enough." It cunningly lulls believers into a false sense of security, where spiritual passion fades and genuine spiritual hunger quietly diminishes. This is precisely the deception Jesus cautioned against. The devil doesn't need to overtly destroy the church. He merely needs to render it sufficiently comfortable to cease fighting the good fight of faith. Just observe the world that surrounds you. Entertainment is available at our fingertips, catering to every fleeting whim. Instant gratification is readily accessible for every conceivable desire. Distraction is perpetually available every single second of the day. The world has meticulously crafted a counterfeit peace that effectively keeps us spiritually numb. Feels deceptively safe, but it is, in reality, a form of spiritual anesthesia. And slowly, imperceptibly, the fire that once burned brightly within our hearts begins to gradually fade. This is the essence of the subtle attack, the gradual erosion of conviction, the quiet loss of urgency concerning the sacred things of God. Jesus shared the parable of the 10 virgins for this precise reason. All 10 were actively awaiting the bridegroom's arrival. All 10 had received a formal invitation. All 10 professed belief. However, only 5 were truly prepared when he ultimately arrived. The critical difference lay in their supply of oil. The foolish virgins possessed lamps, outwardly demonstrating their faith, but they lacked the essential oil. They had a form of religion, but lacked genuine intimacy with God. They outwardly appeared prepared, but they lacked the inner fire of the Holy Spirit. And when the urgent cry resonated at midnight, when the bridegroom finally appeared, it was tragically too late for them to adequately prepare. The door was irrevocably shut. That parable wasn't intended to simply frighten us. It was specifically intended to awaken us from our spiritual slumber. Because the midnight cry is destined to resound once again. And many within the church will find themselves in the same precarious position, lamps in hand, but tragically devoid of oil in their hearts. The spirit of deception doesn't always manifest as overtly false doctrine. It frequently arrives in the subtle form of complacency. It cunningly convinces us that reading a single verse each day is sufficient, that attending a Sunday service is all that's required, and that deep conviction is somehow unnecessary. It deceptively portrays the narrow road as being excessively difficult, while simultaneously portraying the broad road as being exceedingly inviting. We have subtly traded genuine repentance for fleeting reassurance. We have mistakenly equated applause with genuine anointing. And in our relentless pursuit of comfort, we have gradually drifted further and further away from the transformative power of the cross. The enemy's ultimate goal isn't to compel you to sin blatantly. It's to cultivate a state of spiritual indifference within you, because an indifferent Christian poses absolutely no threat to the forces of darkness. The devil doesn't need to compel you to renounce Jesus outright. He simply needs to subtly distract you to the point where you gradually forget the urgent reality of his imminent return. When Jesus implored, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour," he wasn't addressing unbelievers. He was directly addressing his devoted followers, specifically including you and me. The call was remarkably simple. Remain awake, diligently keep your lamps burning brightly, and meticulously guard your supply of spiritual oil. The spirit of deception and the subtle allure of comfort operate quietly, slowly, and gently. It doesn't scream. It seductively sings. It subtly tells you that you have ample time. It deceptively tells you that holiness can afford to wait. Cunningly tells you that sin isn't really all that serious. And, little by little, it drains your spiritual oil until your inner flame is ultimately extinguished. That's precisely why Jesus' powerful words in Matthew 24 are so incredibly urgent. He wasn't merely describing some faraway prophecy. He was vividly describing the prevailing spiritual atmosphere that would characterize the last days. And if you read it carefully, you'll clearly discern that his warning wasn't primarily focused on the chaotic state of the world. It was primarily focused on the precarious spiritual condition of the church itself. The disciples earnestly inquired, "What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus responded with a single phrase that should continue to resonate deeply within our hearts today. "See to it that no one deceives you." Before he even mentioned wars, before he made any reference to earthquakes or famine, he specifically addressed the critical issue of deception. He didn't say, "Be careful of destruction." He emphatically stated, "Be careful of deception." Because what outwardly appears harmless can, in reality, be deadly. What appears to be true can, in reality, be false. He cautioned that many would emerge claiming to represent him, proclaiming, "I am the Christ," and they would ultimately deceive many. Today, we constantly encounter voices claiming to represent him, but their message has subtly shifted. The gospel of genuine repentance has been subtly transformed into a gospel of mere self-help. The profound message of the cross has been quietly replaced with a superficial message of fleeting comfort. The urgent call to holiness has been cleverly rebranded as mere legalism. The world is enthusiastically applauding a watered-down version of Christianity that demands absolutely nothing, and it's rapidly spreading like wildfire. Then Jesus poignantly stated, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." That one powerful sentence perfectly encapsulates the heart of this end-time spiritual attack. Lawlessness, the pervasive rejection of God's established order, the deliberate rejection of his immutable truth, will inevitably increase exponentially. And as lawlessness steadily increases, genuine love will inevitably diminish. Not worldly love, but godly love. The kind of unwavering love that fearlessly speaks the truth even when it causes discomfort, that resolutely stands firm even when it's unpopular, and that authentically loves even when others choose to grow cold and indifferent. This is precisely why so many believers feel their spiritual passion gradually fading. It's not necessarily that they have completely ceased to believe. It's that the world's pervasive lawlessness has subtly numbed their hearts. And yet, Jesus immediately followed that sobering warning with a powerful message of unwavering hope. "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." That crucial word, endure, is not passive in its connotation. It signifies actively standing firm when it would be infinitely easier to simply fall, remaining steadfastly faithful when others choose to compromise their values, resolutely loving when others choose to grow cold and indifferent, and deliberately carrying the cross when others choose to put it down. Matthew 24 is not merely a detached list of predictions. It's a powerful spiritual mirror that accurately reflects the precarious condition of human hearts in the final generation leading up to his return. False prophets consistently rise to prominence because people crave messages that subtly gratify their fleshly desires. Lawlessness consistently increases because holiness is openly mocked and ridiculed. Love consistently grows cold because comfort is elevated to a form of idolatry. And right in the midst of all that spiritual chaos, Jesus issues a clear command that pierces directly through all the surrounding noise. Watch. Watch for what exactly? Not merely for the world's chaos, but for the delicate condition of your own heart. Watch that you are not subtly deceived by a gospel of ease. Watch that your inner flame doesn't flicker and eventually fade out completely. Watch that your genuine love doesn't gradually grow cold and indifferent. Because the most insidious deception is not lurking out there somewhere. It's actively present within the very heart of the church, among those who outwardly believe they are prepared, but have, in reality, subtly drifted far, far away from the very heart of God. The days in which we currently live mirror with astonishing accuracy everything that Jesus meticulously described. The signs are not carefully hidden or obscured in any way. They are, in fact, readily visible everywhere we look. But, tragically, the spiritual eyes of many have grown increasingly dull and dim. Prophecy is actively being fulfilled, not merely in the manifestation of wars and cataclysmic disasters, but also in the subtle turning of hearts toward apathy and indifference. The enemy is not patiently waiting for permission to launch his carefully orchestrated attack. He has already launched it, and he's tragically gaining ground in areas where believers are spiritually asleep. But Jesus's urgent warning still stands as an open invitation. He who perseveres to the very end will ultimately be saved. That emphatically means that there is still ample time. There is still abundant grace freely available. There is still overflowing mercy for those who choose to awaken, who diligently guard their supply of spiritual oil, and who deliberately choose to burn even brighter when the surrounding world grows progressively darker. Because the very same Jesus who warned us so emphatically about the dangers of deception also solemnly promised to return for those who choose to remain steadfastly faithful to him. And that's precisely why his urgent warning wasn't primarily intended to create paralyzing fear. It was primarily intended to ignite a holy fire within our souls. The specific deception that Jesus warned us about is incredibly dangerous not because it overtly appears evil, but because it deceptively appears good. It arrives meticulously wrapped in a cloak of radiant light. It speaks with soothing, gentle words. It feels deceptively like authentic love. It promises unwavering peace, boundless hope, and perfect unity. But it subtly leaves out the critical elements of genuine repentance, immutable truth, and the transformative power of the cross. That's precisely why it's so incredibly powerful and why the vast majority of the church has tragically failed to recognize it. The deceptive false light doesn't aggressively shout rebellion. It subtly whispers the seductive promise of comfort. It doesn't outright deny the existence of Jesus. It gradually redefines him little by little until he eventually becomes virtually unrecognizable. Satan's greatest victory has never been in waging open warfare against the church. It has been in masterfully creating a deceptive imitation of the authentic thing. He doesn't necessarily need to overtly destroy the fundamental truth when he can craft a meticulously counterfeit version that subtly sounds far more appealing to the carnal mind. The Apostle Paul eloquently wrote, "Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light." That emphatically means that his meticulously crafted strategy is primarily centered on deception and subtle imitation, not on outright confrontation. The deceptive false light imitates the authentic truth so meticulously and so closely that it feels inherently right, it sounds inherently right, it even appears inherently right, but it ultimately leads to spiritual death. Today, that deceptive false light shines brightly everywhere we look. It's prominently featured in messages that deceptively promise blessing without requiring obedience, grace without requiring genuine repentance, and destiny without requiring genuine discipline. It's prominently featured in teachings that deceptively glorify self instead of promoting complete surrender to God. It's essentially the gospel of me, not the authentic gospel of Jesus Christ. People are naturally drawn to it because it deceptively offers everything that the unredeemed flesh instinctively craves. Affirmation, influence, and freedom from guilt, but it insidiously strips away everything that the spirit desperately needs. Deep conviction, righteous correction, and authentic holiness. And this is precisely what Jesus meticulously warned us about. He emphatically stated that many would come in his name. They would carefully use his very words. They would carefully employ his familiar language, and they would even perform various miracles. But he also stated, "By their fruits you will know them." The end result, the fruit of the deceptive false light, is invariably the same. It subtly glorifies man and simultaneously dims the transcendent holiness of God. It meticulously constructs elaborate platforms instead of building genuine altars. It effectively fills vast stadiums but simultaneously empties intimate prayer rooms. It strategically preaches comfort but carefully avoids the inherent challenge of the cross. In countless pulpits today, the cross has gradually become nothing more than a mere symbol of casual inspiration rather than a powerful reminder of the urgent need for complete surrender. The precious blood of Jesus has gradually become a mere metaphor rather than the immeasurable price of our complete redemption. The narrow way that Jesus originally spoke of has been progressively widened to seamlessly accommodate both personal comfort and prevailing cultural norms. This is the essence of the deceptive false light. It subtly avoids demanding genuine change. It simply bestows a superficial blessing on whatever already exists. It deceptively promises salvation without requiring any actual transformation. And countless millions are blindly following it because it feels undeniably easier, undeniably kinder, and undeniably safer. But Jesus explicitly stated, "Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction." The deceptive false light subtly shines on that deceptively broad road, cleverly making it appear beautiful, modern, and enlightened. But tragically, that deceptive light ultimately leads to eternal darkness. The authentic light of Christ relentlessly exposes, powerfully convicts, and miraculously transforms. It doesn't deceptively flatter, it genuinely purifies. The deceptive false light subtly comforts you in your sin. The authentic light of Christ urgently calls you out of your sin and into a state of complete repentance. The deceptive false light deceptively tells you that God unconditionally accepts absolutely everything you do. The authentic light of Christ relentlessly reveals that his perfect holiness simply cannot coexist with unrepentant rebellion. This is the insidious spiritual attack that has effectively invaded the modern church, the slow, subtle replacement of immutable truth with deceptive imitation. And this insidious trend is, sadly, nothing particularly new. The Apostle Paul clearly saw it steadily approaching. He poignantly wrote to Timothy, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers." That perilous time isn't merely approaching sometime in the distant future. It's demonstrably here right now. And the church must inevitably choose which path to resolutely follow. The deceptive light that subtly flatters or the authentic light that relentlessly sanctifies. That's precisely why Scripture speaks so emphatically of a great falling away prior to the rapture. Paul himself powerfully referred to it as the rebellion in 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 3. He solemnly declared that before the man of sin is ultimately revealed, there will be a massive departure from the authentic truth, a pervasive spiritual collapse deceptively hidden beneath the superficial illusion of genuine revival. It won't outwardly appear as open rebellion. It will subtly appear as mere progress. It will subtly sound like genuine compassion. It will selectively use the sacred name of Jesus, but it will strategically deny his ultimate lordship. The falling away isn't primarily about people outright abandoning religion altogether. It's primarily about people actively maintaining a form of religion, but simultaneously losing touch with the authentic truth. It's a church devoid of the transformative power of the cross, worship devoid of genuine surrender, and preaching devoid of deep conviction. It's a movement that deliberately replaces authentic holiness with superficial happiness, and carefully replaces genuine truth with indiscriminate tolerance. The most insidious lie is the one that deceptively uses carefully selected scriptures to subtly justify overt sin. That's the primary outward appearance of this pervasive falling away. Not necessarily overt rebellion in the streets, but subtle compromise within the very pews of the church. Paul solemnly warned that this widespread deception would effectively prepare the surrounding world for the ultimate emergence of the Antichrist. He explicitly called him the man of lawlessness. That seemingly simple title matters immensely. Lawlessness inherently signifies rebellion against God's established divine order. It's not solely about political or social chaos. It's fundamentally about spiritual anarchy. It's about the deliberate removal of all moral boundaries, the open rejection of God's ultimate authority, and the widespread celebration of self-rule. And when you simply observe the world that surrounds you today, you can clearly see it actively taking shape. The world enthusiastically celebrates open sin and subtly calls it freedom. It openly mocks authentic righteousness and subtly calls it oppression. It actively silences immutable truth and subtly calls it hate. But what's even more dangerous and insidious is when believers themselves begin to subtly agree with this deceptive narrative, when churches begin to subtly adopt the world's deceptive language, and when pastors become progressively afraid to call sin what it authentically is, sin. That's when the pervasive falling away significantly deepens, when the authentic truth is no longer genuinely loved, and when the healthy fear of God is tragically replaced with the fickle approval of mere men. This is precisely what Jesus was alluding to when he pointedly asked, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" He wasn't primarily talking about outward religious displays. There will undoubtedly be plenty of that readily visible. He was primarily talking about possessing genuine, unwavering, and uncompromising faith. The kind of faith that resolutely stands tall when everyone else is blindly bowing down. The kind of faith that burns even brighter in the midst of ever-increasing darkness. The kind of faith that tenaciously clings to the immutable truth even when it potentially costs you everything. The great falling away doesn't suddenly happen in a single day. It gradually happens in the countless small decisions we make to routinely choose the temporary ease of comfort over the eternal value of deep conviction, to routinely choose the relative safety of passive silence over the potential consequences of actively speaking the truth, and to routinely choose the seductive appeal of indiscriminate tolerance over the essential requirement of authentic holiness. It gradually happens when believers begin to rationalize that certain sections of Scripture don't really apply to their modern lives anymore. It gradually happens when churches actively stop preaching genuine repentance because it makes people uncomfortable. It gradually happens when the sacred name of Jesus is routinely used to subtly build personal influence instead of passionately pursuing intimate communion with Him. But make absolutely no mistake about it. This pervasive falling away is certainly not hidden from the all-seeing eyes of God. He clearly sees it happening. He specifically warned about it long in advance. And He will purposefully allow it to effectively separate the genuine from the counterfeit. Because even as deception relentlessly rises, so will genuine discernment among those who choose to remain steadfastly faithful. The wheat and the tares will continue to grow together until the divinely appointed time of the harvest. The necessary shaking is already actively underway, and it's effectively revealing who genuinely belongs to Him and who merely professes to. The wonderfully good news is that even in the very midst of this pervasive falling away, the Holy Spirit is simultaneously awakening a dedicated remnant, a chosen generation completely unwilling to passively bow down to the deceptive false light and equally unwilling to deliberately trade authentic truth for fleeting worldly acceptance. They will not be easily deceived because their spiritual roots are deeply grounded in the immutable Word of God. They don't blindly follow mere charisma. They deliberately follow deep conviction. They don't simply chase after superficial blessings. They purposefully carry the transforming cross of Jesus Christ. And when the long-awaited trumpet ultimately sounds, they will be spiritually ready and fully prepared. Jesus purposefully warned us not to succumb to fear in this challenging season, but to consistently cultivate genuine discernment. Because while blatant deception steadily spreads and genuine love predictably grows cold, He explicitly promised that the gospel of the kingdom will still be actively preached to all nations of the world. The authentic church will not ultimately fade away into obscurity. it will triumphantly rise, thoroughly purified, rigorously tested, and overflowing with divine power. The great falling away is undoubtedly real, but so is the great awakening that is simultaneously taking place among those who truly know him on a deeply personal level. And as the surrounding world grows progressively darker, the radiant light of immutable truth will inevitably shine all the brighter through those who resolutely refuse to compromise their deeply held convictions. Jesus powerfully compared his inevitable return to the unexpected arrival of a thief in the night, not because he intended to frighten his devoted followers, but because he desperately wanted to spiritually awaken them from their current state of complacent slumber. A common thief typically doesn't openly announce his intended arrival. He doesn't courteously knock on the door or provide any form of advance warning. He strategically arrives quietly, suddenly, and completely unexpectedly. That's precisely how the transformative rapture will inevitably unfold. It won't be publicly predicted by sensational headlines or clearly marked by sensational signs in the sky. It will occur in an instant, in the proverbial blink of an eye. And when that monumental event ultimately happens, countless individuals who outwardly thought they were completely ready will tragically find themselves permanently left behind, desperately wondering how they could have so easily missed it. The painful truth is that the modern church sadly resembles those who were quietly slumbering in the sobering parable of the 10 virgins. Lamps meticulously trimmed, clothes thoroughly washed, and mouths audibly filled with carefully rehearsed worship, but tragically lacking the essential fire of the Holy Spirit within their hearts. Countless individuals passively believe in Christ from a purely intellectual standpoint, but comparatively few are actively burning with passionate devotion for him. Countless individuals routinely attend church services, but comparatively few have genuine intimacy with the very one they outwardly claim to worship. The modern sleeping church is not literally dead. It's merely tragically distracted. It's constantly busy doing good things, but not necessarily doing the right things from an eternal perspective. It routinely preaches about love, but subtly forgets the essential importance of holiness. It routinely sings about triumph and victory, but subtly forgets the transformative power of complete surrender. The telltale signs of a church that has tragically fallen asleep are sadly evident everywhere we look. Genuine passion has been quietly replaced by well-orchestrated programs. Deep conviction has been strategically replaced by fleeting comfort. The tangible presence of God has been insidiously replaced by hollow outward performance. There is plenty of outward movement without any corresponding inner fire. There is plenty of well-intentioned activity without any accompanying divine anointing. And all the while, the long-awaited bridegroom patiently delays his return, quietly testing hearts to see who will still be spiritually awake when he ultimately arrives. Jesus emphatically declared, "Therefore be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Yet, if we are completely honest with ourselves, the vast majority of us routinely live our daily lives as if that divinely appointed hour will never actually arrive. We diligently make long-term plans for our earthly lives, but simultaneously neglect to make adequate eternal plans. We diligently store up increasingly vast treasures here on earth and simultaneously forget about the infinitely more valuable treasures that are readily available to us in heaven. We routinely treat heartfelt prayer as a mere emergency tool instead of our essential daily lifeline. The inherent danger of prolonged spiritual sleep is not that we cease to intellectually believe in the fundamental tenets of Christianity. It's that we cease to actively watch, that we cease to remain constantly vigilant, and that we cease to genuinely long for the imminent return of our Savior. The early church actively lived with a powerful sense of holy urgency, fully understanding that Jesus could potentially return at any given moment. That perpetual sense of urgency naturally produced authentic holiness, unwavering purity, and abundant spiritual power. Today, countless individuals have tragically lost that essential sense of urgency, and with it, the necessary strength to resolutely resist the pervasive influence of the surrounding world. The enemy keenly understands that if he can strategically make believers progressively comfortable enough, he doesn't necessarily need to make them overtly corrupt. The modern church that is actively falling asleep will never fully hear the urgent midnight cry until it is tragically too late to adequately respond. But there is undoubtedly hope readily available even now. Scripture powerfully declares, "Awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." God is actively calling his chosen people to purposefully awaken, to deliberately shake off all forms of subtle distraction, to fervently rekindle their initial love for him, and to earnestly return to the essential simplicity of genuine faith. Because the transformative rapture will certainly not patiently wait for anyone's painstakingly detailed schedule. It will occur in an instant, in the blink of an eye, immediately separating those who genuinely know him on a deeply personal level from those who merely knew about him from a detached intellectual perspective. And when that monumental moment inevitably arrives, the crucial line that definitively separates the wise from the foolish and the faithful from the complacent will be definitively drawn not by eloquently spoken words, but by the demonstrable presence of spiritual oil, the readily visible sign of an unseen, intimate, and life-altering relationship between a soul and its eternal Savior. The modern world undeniably displays every single telltale sign that Jesus carefully mentioned when he meticulously described the conditions that would characterize the tumultuous days immediately preceding his inevitable return. He solemnly declared that it would be as it was in the chaotic days of Noah. People would be perpetually eating, drinking, marrying, and generally living as if nothing would ever fundamentally change. Evil would actively multiply exponentially and the human heart would invariably grow progressively cold. If you simply observe the world that actively surrounds you today, you'll quickly realize that those incredibly descriptive words could accurately describe our current world perfectly. Yet the most significant signs are not merely evident in the readily visible chaos that surrounds us on every side. They are also readily evident in the fragile spiritual condition of the modern church. We are actively living in a pervasive age of widespread confusion where immutable truth has sadly become a fluid, subjective concept. Right and wrong are no longer carefully regarded as absolute and unchanging moral principles. They are constantly rewritten on a daily basis by the fluctuating whims of popular public opinion. Modern technology has undeniably granted humanity previously unimaginable levels of potential power. But it has also simultaneously enslaved countless human hearts to a perpetual cycle of distraction. The small, still voice of God has sadly been drowned out by a constant barrage of increasingly loud and pervasive noise. Countless individuals endlessly scroll through an overwhelming ocean of blatant lies and deceptively call it meaningful connection. They relentlessly chase after the next new thing, the next fleeting thrill, and the next superficial high, but they never deliberately stop long enough to quietly listen for the gentle whisper of eternity. This is precisely what Jesus profoundly meant when he solemnly declared that pervasive deception would relentlessly fill the earth in the last days. The most insidious deception facing this particular generation is not the proliferation of some novel, previously unknown religion. It's the subtly deceptive idea that modern man no longer fundamentally needs God. It's the subtly deceptive belief that authentic love is primarily defined by fleeting human emotion rather than by immutable divine truth. It's the subtly deceptive belief that morality is merely a flexible concept and that genuine holiness is hopelessly outdated. It's the subtle blending of light and darkness under the deceptively appealing banner of indiscriminate tolerance. It's a pervasive culture that enthusiastically celebrates overt sin, and it makes a mockery of true repentance. The adversary's assault isn't always overt persecution anymore. It's often subtle persuasion. It's the gradual conditioning of the mind, the slow erosion of resistance, until we accept what once deeply grieved our spirit. A deceptive, artificial light shines brightly across every platform imaginable. Influencers, entertainers, and even those who claim to be spiritual leaders speak glibly of manifesting your own destiny, channeling supposed universal energy, and creating your own individual truth. But the reality is, there is only one truth, and his name is Jesus Christ. The great deception of our time teaches people to worship themselves while putting on a pretense of worshiping God. It elevates fickle feelings over the steadfastness of Scripture and prioritizes personal experience over unwavering faith. This is the very same lie that the serpent whispered to Eve in the garden. You shall be as gods. And just as Eve did, countless people are now eagerly consuming the fruit of this lie, completely unaware that death and destruction are hiding within its initial sweetness. This moral collapse we are witnessing is not some unforeseen accident. It's a prophecy being meticulously fulfilled. Isaiah foretold that there would come a time when people would brazenly call evil good and good evil, when darkness would be shamelessly labeled as light and light as darkness. That perilous time is undeniably now. Yet, even as the world spirals further into chaos and confusion, the church's silence grows increasingly deafening. Instead of bravely confronting sin head-on, many are passively blending in with it, becoming indistinguishable from the world around them. Instead of being the preserving salt of the earth, we've allowed ourselves to become mere sugar, sweet, superficially popular, but ultimately powerless to preserve the enduring truth. The insidious division among believers has also become one of the enemy's most potent weapons. Jesus fervently prayed that his followers would be united as one. Yet today, the body of Christ is tragically splintered into countless factions. Pride, inflated egos, and petty offenses have effectively replaced the vital qualities of unity and humility. People endlessly fight and bicker over theological minutiae, while completely ignoring the lost and perishing souls that are languishing just outside their church walls. While the church engages in endless, unproductive arguments, the enemy is rapidly advancing his agenda. This internal division dangerously weakens discernment, leaving believers vulnerable to the very deception that Jesus himself so urgently warned about. Technology, media, and culture are now working in terrifyingly perfect harmony to reshape moral values at a pace faster than any empire in history ever could. The inevitable result is a society that no longer possesses a healthy fear of God, but is paralyzed by the fear of being canceled by the ever-vigilant online mob. Truth itself has become inherently offensive, and silence, rather than being recognized as cowardice, is now mistakenly perceived as wisdom. Yet this is precisely what the devil has wanted all along, to silence the voice of righteousness so that sin can reign unchallenged and unopposed. The modern signs of Jesus's urgent warnings are now undeniably everywhere we look. A generation that knows of Jesus, but tragically doesn't know his power. Churches overflowing with people, but utterly empty of his divine presence. Preachers who are celebrated for their charisma and stage presence, but who lack genuine conviction and spiritual depth. The relentless attack that Jesus spoke of isn't hidden or covert. It's unfolding right before our very eyes, in plain sight. But only those who diligently stay in the Word, who consistently walk in prayer, and who steadfastly guard their hearts with spiritual discernment will be able to see it for what it truly is. Still, this is absolutely not a message of despair or hopelessness. Jesus explicitly told us all of these things so that when we see them happening, we would not succumb to fear, but instead recognize that our ultimate redemption draws ever nearer. Every single sign, every instance of deception, every cataclysmic shaking in the world is ultimately pointing towards the soon and certain return of the King of Kings. And for those who remain faithful, for those who resolutely endure, for those who refuse to let their lamps go out in the encroaching darkness, there is an eternal crown of glory waiting to be received. Because even as the darkness relentlessly spreads, the true and unwavering light of Christ shines even brighter through those who have steadfastly refused to bow to the insidious spirit of this age. Many Christians today mistakenly believe that silence is a form of wisdom. But in the discerning eyes of heaven, silence in the face of rampant deception is nothing less than utter surrender. The most effective and devastating attack of the enemy is not always direct persecution. It's the subtle and insidious persuasion that leaves the believer paralyzed by fear, afraid to speak up for what they know is true. Jesus himself warned that before his return, many would be deeply ashamed of his very name, afraid to boldly stand for the truth because of the perceived cost. "Whoever is ashamed of me and of my words," he said with absolute clarity, "of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory." That sobering verse wasn't meant for hardened unbelievers. It was specifically meant for the very people who earnestly call themselves his followers. We have undeniably entered a perilous time when simply speaking the unadulterated truth makes you a target for a relentless attack. You can freely talk about faith, about love, about generic kindness, and the world will readily applaud your virtue signaling. But the moment you dare to mention holiness, repentance, or the exclusive saving power of Jesus Christ, that same adoring crowd will instantly turn against you with shocking vehemence. that right there is the essence of the attack. An invisible, yet palpable pressure that effectively silences genuine conviction under the disingenuous guise of compassion and tolerance. The world incessantly preaches tolerance but cannot actually tolerate the unwavering truth. It loudly celebrates love, but actively hates correction and accountability. And far too many believers, desperately fearful of rejection and ostracization, have sadly chosen a counterfeit peace with men over unwavering faithfulness to God. Yet Jesus never called his followers to passively blend in with the world around them. He explicitly said, "You are the light of the world." And light, by its very nature, exposes what's hidden. It reveals what's lurking in the shadows. It inherently makes darkness deeply uncomfortable. The church was never designed or intended to be loved and embraced by the world. It was specifically meant to bravely confront it with the transformative power of the gospel. But now, so many have tragically traded truth for fleeting applause, exchanging the unquenchable fire of genuine conviction for the superficial warmth of worldly acceptance. They mistakenly believe that silence is safe and strategic, but in reality, silence is the enemy's ultimate victory. The very same insidious voice that silenced Peter by the fire before the crucifixion is still relentlessly whispering today, "Stay quiet. Don't speak up. Don't offend anyone." Peter denied Jesus not because he suddenly stopped loving him, but because he was gripped by a paralyzing fear of the potential cost. That is precisely the same fear that is gripping the hearts of countless believers right now. But always remember what happened after Peter's genuine repentance, after the glorious resurrection. When the Holy Spirit filled him with divine power, he spoke with unprecedented boldness. The very same man who once trembled before a mere servant girl now stood fearlessly before rulers and refused to be silenced, no matter the personal cost. That is precisely the same kind of radical transformation that God desires for his church today. He is urgently calling us to rise up from the depths of fear into unwavering boldness, to speak the unadulterated truth, even when it costs us our comfort and convenience, to stand firm on principle even when we have to stand completely alone. There is undeniably a significant price to pay for silence, and it's exponentially higher than mere rejection or ridicule. When believers passively remain quiet in the face of evil, darkness relentlessly takes ground. When truth is not spoken with conviction, lies eagerly fill the resulting vacuum. When holiness is no longer preached, sin inevitably becomes normalized and even celebrated. The devastating cost of our collective silence is nothing less than the slow but certain corruption of the very soul of an entire generation. And Jesus, in his infinite mercy and foreknowledge, explicitly warned us about this critical moment in history because he knew that the church's greatest battle before his imminent return would not primarily be against outward persecution, but against inward compromise and complacency. The faithful must always remember that truth, spoken with genuine love and compassion, still pierces through the darkness far more powerfully than any weapon devised by man ever could. But Jesus didn't issue these urgent warnings to fill us with crippling fear. He warned us to specifically prepare us for what lies ahead. The resounding call today is not to panic or despair, but to purify our hearts and minds. Not to retreat into isolation, but to boldly rise up in faith. He explicitly said, "When these things begin to happen, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near." That powerfully means that this precise moment in history is not intended to break us or crush our spirits. It's specifically meant to awaken us from our slumber and galvanize us into action. This is undeniably the time for heightened spiritual readiness. Every single warning that Jesus gave was inevitably followed by an earnest invitation. Watch, pray, be ready. He didn't tell his followers to passively run from the world in terror. He explicitly told them to stand ready within it, equipped and prepared for whatever may come. Readiness is not a fleeting feeling or a mere emotion. It's a sustained state of intentional spiritual discipline. It's living with eternity firmly in mind, even when everyone else around you is utterly consumed by the temporary and fleeting. It's resolutely choosing obedience to God, even when disobedience seems far easier and more appealing. It's diligently keeping the oil full and the flame perpetually alive, even when the night feels impossibly long and dark. The oil in Scripture consistently represents intimate fellowship with Christ. It is not earned in a single moment of religious fervor. It's painstakingly built over time through persistent prayer, heartfelt worship, genuine repentance, and complete surrender to His will. The foolish virgins in Jesus's pointed parable had functional lamps, but they tragically had no oil because they possessed faith without genuine fellowship. They superficially knew of the bridegroom, but they did not intimately walk with Him. Many believers today are sadly in that exact same precarious condition, outwardly holding the lamp of religious tradition, but inwardly lacking the essential oil of a deep and abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. They intellectually believe in God, but they tragically do not truly know Him on a personal and transformative level. They can readily quote Scripture, but they no longer tremble at its life-altering power. Spiritual readiness ultimately means returning to that sacred intimacy with the living God. It means consistently prioritizing quality time with God over absolutely everything else in our busy lives. It means allowing the sharp and discerning Word of God to pierce our hearts and radically transform us on a daily basis. It means resolutely refusing to let the fire of the Holy Spirit die out in our hearts. Jesus didn't simply say know the times. He emphatically said be ready, because the times will only inevitably grow darker, but genuine readiness will consistently keep the light of Christ burning brightly within you. This kind of spiritual readiness cannot be borrowed or transferred. The five wise virgins could not possibly share their precious oil with the foolish ones, because authentic relationship cannot be transferred from one person to another. Each believer must diligently carry their own flame. Each must resolutely choose on a daily basis to abide in Christ, to guard their heart from evil, to crucify the desires of the flesh, and to consistently listen for the Holy Spirit's gentle whisper. That is the abundant and fulfilling life that Jesus has called us to live. Not one characterized by paralyzing fear, but one overflowing with unwavering faith. Not one defined by constant distraction, but one saturated with genuine devotion to Him. There is a resilient remnant steadily rising up even now. People who resolutely refuse to sleepwalk through these final hours, who are no longer content with empty religious rituals or shallow, superficial faith. They are watchful, sober-minded, and consistently filled with the life-giving oil of the Holy Spirit. They do not chase fleeting comfort or worldly pleasures. They passionately chase intimate communion with their Savior. They are the ones who will not be caught off guard or surprised when the long-awaited trumpet finally sounds. They are the truly wise who have diligently kept their lamps trimmed, their hearts pure, and their eyes firmly fixed on heaven. Jesus's urgent warning was not just about looming danger. It was ultimately about our eternal destiny. He was lovingly preparing His followers to be the ones who resolutely endure to the very end, the ones who boldly shine brightly in the darkest hour, the ones who are ultimately found faithful when He triumphantly returns. Readiness is not about achieving flawlessness or perfection. It's about unwavering perseverance. It's about making the deliberate and daily choice to repent of our sins, to fervently pray for guidance, to remain ever watchful, and to love Him above all else. Because when the long-awaited bridegroom finally comes, He will not be primarily looking for the most outwardly gifted, the most worldly successful, or the most publicly visible. He will be eagerly looking for the ready, those who have faithfully prepared their hearts to meet Him. So now the message becomes even more urgent and compelling. The hour is undeniably late. The world is visibly trembling. Biblical prophecy is rapidly unfolding right before our very eyes. And all of heaven is watching with intense anticipation. The very same voice that lovingly said, "Take heed that no one deceives you," is still speaking powerfully today. Be ready. Be faithful. Keep your oil. Keep your flame burning brightly. For soon the cry will be heard at midnight, and only those who are prepared will rise to meet Him in the air. The Apostle Paul powerfully wrote, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." That evocative phrase, armor of light, is not merely poetic language or a nice-sounding metaphor. It is the very real and practical daily clothing of the soul that steadfastly stands against the relentless onslaught of deception. In a world increasingly covered by pervasive shadows, light must be deliberately worn like protective armor. It is simply not enough to casually admire truth from a distance. We must be completely wrapped in it, fully immersed and protected by its unwavering radiance. Every thought we entertain, every action we take, every word we speak must be intentionally guarded by the radiant presence of God in our lives. To purposefully put on the armor of light is to choose to live in complete transparency before heaven. It means we no longer attempt to hide behind flimsy excuses or dangerous compromises. It means we boldly expose what the enemy desperately tries to keep hidden in the shadows. Sin relentlessly thrives in darkness, but it inevitably dies in the overwhelming light of truth. When the believer consistently walks in truth and integrity, darkness inevitably loses its suffocating hold. This vital armor is not physical or tangible. It's spiritual discipline relentlessly put into practice. It's consistent prayer that builds impenetrable walls against temptation. It's diligently reading and applying scripture that sharpens our discernment and enables us to see through deception. It's a commitment to personal purity that shields our hearts from corruption. The armor of light also encompasses unwavering courage. It is the unshakable boldness to speak truth, even when silence seems far safer and more comfortable. It is readily extending forgiveness, even when bitterness would be far easier to embrace. It is purposefully choosing love, even when hatred desperately demands a response. The world, in its limited understanding, simply cannot comprehend this kind of supernatural strength, because it does not originate from mere human effort. It unequivocally comes from the very Spirit of God powerfully dwelling within. When the protective armor of light completely surrounds a believer, darkness inevitably trembles, because no lie, no matter how cunningly crafted, can ever penetrate it. This is precisely how we must resolutely stand in these final days. Not hiding in fear, not paralyzed by doubt, but radiant with the unwavering light of Christ. The same Jesus who earnestly warned of pervasive deception also boldly declared, "You are the light of the world." He never told his followers to passively escape the darkness. He explicitly told them to actively overcome it with the transformative power of the gospel. The church was never built to retreat or shrink back in fear. It was powerfully built to shine, even in the face of overwhelming opposition. And the hour of greatest darkness is invariably the very moment when the radiant light of Christ must burn brightest through his people. Every deliberate act of holiness, every fervent prayer whispered in secret, every conscious decision to stand firmly for truth adds yet another layer of impenetrable armor. It is not the fickle strength of the flesh that ultimately keeps a believer safe and secure. It is the indwelling power of God's radiant light. When the heart is pure and the conscience is clear, the devil's insidious weapons find no point of entry, no place to effectively strike. This is precisely why the Lord lovingly calls his people to come out from among the corrupting influences of the world, to be intentionally set apart, to resolutely live differently than the masses around them. The armor of light is not simply a metaphor or a comforting platitude. It's the very identity of those who have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Soon, that essential armor will no longer be needed. Soon, the relentless battle will finally come to an end. Because one day, in a moment that no human being can accurately predict, the long-awaited trumpet will sound. It will not be a sound that the world recognizes or understands, but every genuine child of God will instinctively know it and respond to it. The heavens themselves will dramatically split open, and the King of Kings will gloriously appear, not as a gentle lamb this time, but as the conquering Lion of Judah, returning in power and glory for his spotless bride. The dead in Christ will triumphantly rise from their graves, and those who are alive and remain will be instantly caught up together with them in the clouds to meet him in the air. It will be sudden, holy, and irreversible. The world will inevitably be left in utter confusion and dismay, but those who genuinely belong to him will be filled with unspeakable joy beyond all earthly measure. The long and arduous night will finally be over. Every tear we have shed, every trial we have endured, every battle we have fought will suddenly make perfect sense in that single, transformative moment. This is the blessed hope that has securely anchored the church since its very inception, the blessed hope of his glorious appearing. The sounding of the final trumpet is not just a celebratory sound of victory. It is the ultimate fulfillment of every single promise that Jesus Christ has ever made to his followers. When he lovingly said, "I go to prepare a place for you," he was specifically referring to this exact moment in time. When he confidently said, "I will come again and receive you to myself," he meant this exact and appointed day. And those who have resolutely endured to the very end, who have diligently kept their lamps burning brightly, will finally see with their own eyes what unwavering faith has long believed in. No human words can ever adequately capture the sheer glory and magnificence of that instant. Imagine the heavens dramatically torn open with radiant light, the commanding voice of the archangel resonating throughout eternity, the unmistakable sound that instantly calls every believer home to their eternal inheritance. In that unparalleled moment, every lingering doubt will vanish, every paralyzing fear will dissolve, and only perfect love will ultimately remain. The king will personally gather his own, and time itself will reverently bow before him. The earnest warning that Jesus so lovingly gave was never intended to terrify or intimidate us. It was primarily intended to remind us of the unspeakable beauty of what is ultimately coming for those who love him. He earnestly wanted his followers to stay ready and alert, not out of a paralyzing fear of being left behind, but out of a burning longing to finally see his radiant face in all of its glory. The sounding of the long-awaited trumpet will not be a signal of loss or despair for the faithful. It will be the joyous sound of their long-awaited homecoming. And when that unmistakable sound echoes throughout heaven and earth, those who have genuinely loved his appearing will rise with unspeakable joy, clothed in the radiant light of his glory, forever to be with the Lord. Do not ever let your lamp go out, no matter how dark the surrounding circumstances become. Do not ever let the incessant noise of the world drown out the gentle whisper of his loving voice. The attack that Jesus so urgently warned about is not merely coming in the future. It's undeniably already here, actively at work in our lives. It's evident in the subtle deceptions that tell you that authentic faith is primarily about comfort and convenience, not radical commitment and sacrifice. It's evident in the quiet compromises that eagerly trade eternal truth for temporary peace and worldly acceptance. It's evident in the constant distractions that numb your spirit and keep you from truly connecting with God. It's evident in the endless pursuit of fleeting things that ultimately fade away, and in the slow but certain cooling of hearts that once burned passionately for him. But even now, even in this increasingly dark and desperate hour, there is still abundant time to awaken from our spiritual slumber. This is the final and urgent plea, not a desperate cry of fear, but a compassionate call of unwavering love. The king has not delayed his return because he has forgotten his promises. He delays primarily because of his boundless mercy and compassion. Every single day that passes is yet another precious opportunity for more souls to turn away from darkness and toward the light, for more hearts to sincerely repent of their sins, for more lamps to be lovingly filled with the life-giving oil of the Holy Spirit. The warning of Jesus was never intended to condemn or discourage. It was always meant to prepare and empower. He spoke these life-altering words because he earnestly desired that no one would ultimately be lost when the trumpet finally sounds. Every biblical prophecy, every powerful parable, every essential teaching about the end times carries the very same compassionate heartbeat. Be ready, for I am coming soon, and when he ultimately comes, he will not be primarily looking for outward perfection. He will be eagerly looking for unwavering faith, faith that resolutely endured the storm, faith that steadfastly refused to bend or break, faith that tenaciously held on to the unadulterated truth, even when the world scornfully called it hate, faith that faithfully stayed awake, even when others around them readily fell asleep. The faithful may be few in number, but they are undeniably fierce in spirit. They are the ones who still genuinely believe in the essential nature of holiness, who still fervently cling to the inerrant scriptures, who still passionately long for heaven far more than they long for the fading pleasures of this earth. They are often not the most celebrated or widely recognized. In fact, they are often the most consistently misunderstood and even actively persecuted. But they are undeniably the ones who will radiantly shine when the rest of the world grows increasingly dim. Now is absolutely not the time to grow weary or discouraged. Now is absolutely not the time to compromise our convictions or water down the truth. The very same Holy Spirit that powerfully raised Jesus from the dead is still actively breathing life and power into his people today. You were not born into this specific generation by mere accident or chance. You were purposefully chosen to stand in this very hour, to be a bold voice of unwavering truth, a radiant vessel of God's light, a living testimony of his boundless power, even when the vast majority of the world has sadly forgotten his holy name. You are a vital part of the final generation that will personally witness the dramatic unfolding of biblical prophecy right before your very eyes. And though the darkness grows undeniably thicker with each passing day, always remember this fundamental truth. Darkness always and inevitably loses to the overwhelming power of light. Lift up your eyes, beloved children of God. The world may mock the precious promise of his soon return, but the heavens are actively preparing for it with unprecedented anticipation. Every global shaking, every societal storm, every prophetic sign is consistently whispering the very same life-altering truth. The long-awaited bridegroom is undoubtedly on his way. The King of Kings is ultimately not far off. Soon the trumpet will dramatically sound. Soon the skies will miraculously break open with radiant glory. Soon unwavering faith will finally and gloriously become sight. And every sacrifice you have made, every prayer you have fervently prayed, every tear you have secretly shed will be eternally worth it all. Do not ever lose heart, no matter how difficult the path may seem. Do not ever let your flame of faith die out, no matter how strong the winds of opposition may blow. You are absolutely not alone in this epic spiritual battle. All across the face of the earth, God is purposefully awakening his faithful remnant. Men and women of God who will resolutely refuse to bow to the spirit of this age, who will steadfastly refuse to blend in with the corrupting culture, who will absolutely refuse to break their covenant with the living God. They are quietly rising up in power, consistently filled with the Holy Spirit, armed with the impenetrable shield of truth, and eternally sealed with his unwavering promise. They are undeniable proof that even in these last and darkest days, God still powerfully reigns, truth still steadfastly stands, and unconditional love still conquers all. The final and pivotal moments of human history are simply not for the fearful or faint-hearted. They are specifically for the faithful and courageous. Jesus explicitly warned of this very attack so that his people would not be deceived by its subtle lies, so that their hearts would not ultimately fail them in the heat of battle, so that when he triumphantly returns, he will ultimately find them standing firm, burning brightly, eagerly waiting, and fully ready to receive him. The rapture is not some fanciful myth or comforting metaphor. It is the very next great and pivotal event written in heaven's unalterable calendar. And when it inevitably happens, every eye will finally see with perfect clarity that his word was unequivocally true from beginning to end. So choose today whom you will ultimately serve. Choose today what you will ultimately believe. Choose today to diligently keep your lamp consistently full, your faith resolutely firm, and your heart intentionally pure. For when the long-awaited trumpet finally sounds, there will ultimately be no remaining time to belatedly prepare, only time to rise up and meet him in the air. The Lord Jesus Christ is undoubtedly coming soon, not as a gentle teacher or humble servant this time, but as the all-powerful and conquering King of Kings. The very heavens will resoundingly thunder with his unsurpassed glory, and every knee without exception will ultimately bow before him. For those who have genuinely loved him and diligently served him, it will be the greatest and most exhilarating joy imaginable. For those who have tragically ignored him or actively rejected him, it will ultimately be the most devastating shock of all eternity. Jesus earnestly warned us not to frighten or intimidate us, but to lovingly remind us that this temporary world is ultimately not our true home. We were divinely created for an entirely different and far more glorious kingdom, one that can never be shaken or destroyed by the fleeting circumstances of this world. So stand firm in your faith, stay continually awake and alert, diligently guard your heart from evil, and purposefully keep your oil consistently burning brightly, because the one who has promised is undeniably faithful, and his eternal words will ultimately never fail. He is undoubtedly coming quickly, and when he finally does, every moment of your faithfulness will resound throughout eternity. Hold fast to what you know is true, beloved children of God. The long and arduous night is nearly over. The glorious dawn is about to break forth. The King of Kings is undoubtedly on his way.